Pastor Vern.
Afternoon.
So this series we're talking about is Now and Later, and it's looking through 1 Thessalonians to discover what it can tell us about the gospel message. You gave us the gospel message last week. What does the gospel actually mean?
Right.
And this week we kind of went further into what does that actually mean about the type of people that we need to be?
Right.
And you started talking about joy versus happiness, and I think language is super important. And how we understand those two terms. The society that we live in tells us that we need to be happy, and we should be happy, and if we have stuff, we should be happy, and we should be joyous, and I think they're often interchanged. Can you just tell me about the difference between joy versus happiness a little more?
Yeah, well, I'll try. I think it sometimes is a difficult thing to totally differentiate, and I didn't use anything original with me, but when I talked about joy versus happiness, I related happiness to happenings. So if I ask a girl out on a date and she says yes, I'm happy because that's a happening. Something good that came into my life and made me feel happy. Or if I get a bonus check at work, that's a happening that makes me feel happy. But those are transitory, right? Because the next week, we might have that date, and at the end of it, she kind of gives me the idea that there probably isn't going to be a second date. Now I'm going to be unhappy because there's something that I didn't want in my life. So that's kind of how we think about happiness. I think it's all related to current events in our life. But I think joy is a deeper kind of satisfaction. It's a deeper kind of settled peace about things, so that if she says yes or she says no, I'm going to be maybe happy or sad in that moment, but internally, deep at a deeper level, I know I'm going to be okay. I'm all right. The world is still a good place. There's still, I still am glad to be here. I'm glad to experience life, and I'm confident about the future. I'm looking forward to things, and so I'm not devastated, like I might be if everything is pinned on that and her answer to my question. That I think that joy is a deeper sense of, yeah, I'm satisfied, and life is good, and I feel good about going forward. I don't know if that makes sense, but
yeah,
that's
absolutely.
I think it's a little slippery, maybe, but that's what I think of.
Yeah. I think understanding the language is definitely important there.
Yeah.
I had heard a TED Talk once describe happiness as having realistic expectations, and when you have a better idea of the expectations of the world, you can become a happier person because you're not constantly being bombarded by things that were outside of your, your purview, or things that you didn't really understand were going to happen.
Yeah. See, I would think that fits maybe, and you're right, how we use words is, it varies among people, but that what you just described to me sounds a little bit more like the joy mm-hmm. that I'm talking about than the happiness, but it's how we use the words.
Yeah. Paul could be joyous in prison.
Right.
But he certainly probably wasn't happy that he was in there.
Probably not happy to be in prison, but right. He was full of joy because he was serving God. He was doing what God wanted him to do. He had confidence that even in those circumstances, God was going to use him. And that comes from a deeper place than just the momentary things that are occurring around us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It seems unnatural. A lot of this series seems like it's looking inward to ourselves and seeing like what we actually want from the world, what we actually want from Jesus, and how he can change us. And it seems unnatural that for humans to do that. We kind of expect that we have good intentions of ourselves and that we're ultimately good when our theology kind of shows us that we're ultimately not prone to make the right choices.
Right.
What's the start to that? How do we start looking into ourselves? Do we look at our actions? Do we kind of examine our thoughts?
Well, I think I'm not sure. I might take this a little different direction than you were thinking, but I think it really kind of starts with coming to the end of ourselves. It becomes our real growth. I think with Jesus is when we come to the realization that you know, I'm not making it in myself. You know, I don't have the resources to live the kind of life I want to live, you know, the kind of life I know I ought to live. And, you know, and as I become more and more aware of that, it drives me to the gospel where we started the first week of the series, you know, which is to recognize I need this good news that Jesus came into the world to not only save me from my sins, but to give me a brand new life, you know, give me a power to live the life that I want to live, the life that I know is the right life to live. And so, you know, I've been reading a lot about this recently, and it's really been kind of affecting my mind and soul in a good way, this idea that the gospel isn't just about, oh, I got saved, now I'm going to go to heaven, but it's also about God's given me the power through the gospel to live that life that ultimately is going to make me feel right about my life. It's going to put me in right relationship with Him and myself and hopefully those around me, you know. But if I, like the things I talked about this past weekend, you know, if I want to be a holy person, it's not because you know, I'm going to, you know, pull myself up by my own bootstraps and I'm going to suck it up and I'm going to, you know, do it all in my own strength and energy. It's because God is making me a holy person. I'm just receiving from God this ability to live out a holy life. You know, He is making me aware of the temptations around me. He's making me aware of the temptations that come from within, you know, my own sinful nature. He's giving me the power to say no to things that I used to say yes to because I didn't think I could help it or I couldn't help it. All of that comes from, you know, His power, His strength, what He's doing in me. And that's wonderful, you know. It's not all on me. It's what God is doing in me. And that's, I just find that super exciting, mm-hmm. you know, to keep that in mind all the time. God's doing that work in me. And I just cooperate with what God is doing, His Spirit. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that's what you asked yeah. me about at all. But
that's a great answer regardless. I think for me, it was the opposite. When I became a Christian, I was kind of upset by finding out that like the goodness in me comes from Jesus. Mm-hmm. Because I remember thinking like, well, where do I stop and Jesus begins? Mm-hmm. And then as the more I learned about Christianity, the less and less it became me, the less it became me doing all those good things. And for the first 20 years of my life, I came from a mindset that I'm a good person and I'm a good person because I choose to be a good person and I'm doing all that. And then you look back at your life and you think, well, or you see that actually that was all Jesus just working through me. I just didn't know it yet. And I think the acknowledgement is that first step to growth. And it's super uncomfortable, but it's something that we need to do. We yeah. talked about Snoop Dogg during yeah. this week. Yeah. Snoop Doggy Dogg, Snoop Double G. Are you a fan
like
of his
you know
music?
Huh?
Are you a fan of his music?
I would not know his music if you hit me on the head with it.
I like that you brought up the attitude of, we see this a lot on social media and just kind of like in celebrity status where I'm going to do what I want. I don't care what anybody thinks. I'm going to do me. And I think society like kind of lifts that up and says like, wow, look at how strong they are because they don't care what anybody thinks of them and they're just going to do themselves. Right. But that's making you the standard for how, you know, how life should work and how you should be able to treat people and how you live your life. Can you just talk about the dangers of that and when you're making yourself the standard regardless of, you know?
Well, I can talk about it personally, you know, when I've tried to live that way. I remember, you know, this is years ago, there was a period in my life and I kind of flew by this in the message, but, you know, for quite a period, like a lot of people, I my life was about how can I make these people like me? How can I live in a way to please them and make them happy with me? And kind of when I was hitting my late teens, I started to get really kind of tired of that, you know, and it wasn't working, you know, anyway. And so I was getting really defensive and putting up these walls, you know, like, I don't care if they like me or not, you know. And so that led me to some self-help stuff, you know, where I'm going to be who I want to be kind of thing. And there was a book that came out and I read it at the time. It was called Looking Out for Number One. And I can't tell you a whole lot about it, and I don't want to, I probably shouldn't even mention it because I should go back and look at exactly what it says, but just the title, Looking Out for Number One, you know, that idea that, you know, that's all I'm going to care about is me. And so if I feel like saying something and it hurts your feelings, who cares? I don't care. That's your problem, you know, because I felt like saying it, so I said it, or I felt like doing it, so I did it. And I think that's the extreme of, you know, living to please myself. Mm-hmm. And that, as I said in the message, I think that's a dead end too, you know, because I know for me, I tried that for a while. I wasn't happy with me, mm-hmm. you know. I was living with guilt and shame, and I could try to ignore it and pretend it's not there and push on, but I for me, I couldn't, you know. I just carried that with me, and I was still unhappy. I wasn't feeling that joy. And so, you know, I just don't think it works. Making those two things, the North Star, the guiding light for our lives, living to please others or living to please ourselves, if that's the epitome, if that's what we're aiming at, I think we're going to end up in dead ends. I really do. I don't think we're going to be pleased with who we are at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. And it's totally,
we might think we are, but I think, you know, here, I think the Bible tells us that our, you know, we can become seared, our consciences become seared. Mm-hmm. So I think you can develop a hardness about yourself where you even are in a place where you think you're happy. Yeah, I'm a happy person. I'm living for myself and mm-hmm. don't care what anybody else thinks or how my behavior or actions affect other people. But I think that's usually, you know, somebody who's gotten hardened, you know?
Yeah, and it's antithetical to how Jesus came to live.
Yeah.
He came specifically and entirely for everyone else, right. Nothing to do with himself.
Right.
Everything he did was for, you know, other people. And I think you can even see that in Jesus, where he knew his mission, he knew what he needed to do. So at times he does look hard and he looks brash with the disciples and with the Pharisees and Sadducees, but that all came from a place of doing it for everybody else and knowing his mission.
Yeah, and living, as he says, to please the Father. You know, that his whole life was about, this is what the Father has sent me to do and to say and to be, and he's the one I'm seeking to please. He's the one I want to please. So yeah, sometimes that, you know, and I kind of mentioned that too briefly in the message. Sometimes if we adopt that, if we choose to live to please God first, there's going to be people who are not happy with us. There's going to be people we're not going to please because of that decisions that we make. Sometimes, as I said, we're going to not be really happy, you know, in the moment ourselves. But Jesus, he said, if you want to follow me, you've got to pick up your cross, deny yourself daily, and follow me. And so sometimes that means, all right, you know, what I'd really like to do is this in my flesh, but in my spirit, I want to follow Christ. And so I deny that part and I follow, mm-hmm. Even if it doesn't feel good in the moment. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You had mentioned sanctification.
Uh-huh.
And just for the listeners today, can you explain what sanctification is? How do we believe that process goes?
Yeah. Well, it begins with receiving the gospel, right? It begins with repentance, confessing our need for a Savior, for Jesus, confessing our sinfulness, receiving forgiveness from God, you know, and being cleansed of our sinfulness and receiving the Holy Spirit. And there, you know, there's a connection, sanctification, Holy Spirit. It's God's work in us again to purify us and to make us more and more like Jesus. So, you know, holy and sanctification has to do with that idea of separation from sinfulness and separation to God. And the quote I use from Jerry Bridges, which I really like, you know, he talks about this being a process. Mm-hmm. God sees us as completely righteous through Christ, and he is making us righteous, completely righteous in our attitudes, behaviors, and so on. And that's the process.
Christianity seems easy on the outside. I know when I first became a Christian, mm-hmm. I said, like, it's just you just accept it, and then mm-hmm. it's easy from there, right? But mm-hmm. The deeper that I, the more I understood about Christianity, the more I understood about Christ, it seems like not the more difficult, but at least it doesn't get easier the deeper you get into it, because it's just you you find out there's actually more that you have to sacrifice. It's continual sacrifice. It's not just a prayer you say at camp and then you can ride out your life until you go to heaven.
Right.
Why do you think it's such a difficult process? And why do you think, why doesn't the Holy Spirit just make it easier for us? And it's just easy and, why is the process so difficult in life?
Well, I think there's a couple things. One, I think struggle is good for us, right? I think struggling with our attitudes, struggling with our ways of thinking, struggling with behaviors, is not bad. It's not a bad thing. And some of the best things come out of struggle, right? Mm-hmm. If you want to grow strong physically, you've got to struggle. You've got to go to a gym or someplace and you got to work out, exercise muscles. You're going to get tired. You may have some aches and pains along the way, but that struggle is getting you to where you want to be. And I think as God is perfecting us, he allows us to go through struggles because that's part of the process of refining and perfecting us, mm-hmm. right? And we're not robots, right? We're not automatons. God gives us the ability to think and to reason and to surrender and to will or to give up our will to him. And that's all part of that struggle. He wants us to grow as people. He respects, I think, that process of growth in us. So struggling is not all bad. But I do think that sometimes we struggle because our fleshly nature, we know, kind of like Paul, in Romans 7, where he talks about, I know what I want to do and I don't do what I want to do. And, so we struggle against that fleshly nature. We know that we have power over sin through the Holy Spirit, but it's still kind of there. And that sinful nature is still kind of pestering us. So we have to deal with that. So that's just part of the life. But here's the thing. If we go back to the gospel and we realize God is doing this work in us and he has, he's God and he said he's going to bring this to completion. He will, then there's where the joy comes from. It's like, yeah, I don't like the struggle all the time, but I know God is doing the work in me and that's wonderful. And I trust he's going to bring this to completion because he said he is. Mm-hmm. So let's keep going.
It goes back to the joy versus happiness, right? You can be constantly joyous knowing our future and knowing our hope that is in him.
Right.
But that doesn't necessarily mean we're going to be happy about it all the time.
Right.
The shift in culture seems to be taking place where everybody in culture is responsible for your happiness or your making you happy. Mm-hmm. An era of trigger warnings and self-esteem and participation trophies. And not to say that those, make a generalization about those things are bad in themselves, but how do you think the culture is changing that everybody else is responsible for how you feel? And we should be, I don't want to say coddled and sound harsh, but how do we live in a world that is overly concerned with struggle, with the truth and the proposed truth, where everybody else is responsible for your faith, your joy, and your happiness?
You're going to have to hit me with that one again.
So, essentially, it seems like everybody is offended. Cancel culture.
Okay.
Everybody's constantly offended by what everybody else is doing.
Mm-hmm.
How do we as Christians live in a world where we have to understand the goal of the gospel rather than being focused on maintaining happiness?
Okay. Well, I think some of it is, it's who is our God? If the little g gods of this world are the gods that we idolize, worship, adore, things like, success, money, sexual fulfillment, relationships, power, et cetera, et cetera. If those are the things that we worship and adore, they're going to leave us empty at the end of the day. They really are. And we're going to chase them and chase them. But, it's like an addict who's always chasing the original high. For the first time I used this, man, I felt so good and high. And now I'm always chasing that. I'm never quite getting it again, but I'm chasing it. And I think when we are seeking after those little g gods, when those are the things we worship, we're always chasing, trying to feel better. And we don't. But if we're serving God, big G, God, then we're seeking to please Him, right? And we're living for Him. Our self-esteem comes from Him, you know? Our worth comes from Him, what He says about us. And what does He say about us? He says, you're my child. You know, you receive my son, you're my child. I adopt you into my family. We're children of God. And you know, that may be a phrase that some people say, and they don't get the full meaning of that. God adopts us as His children through faith in Jesus Christ. We belong to Him. That's where my worth comes from. And so I don't have to chase these other things to feel good, because that comes from God. God tells me what I'm worth. God gives me value. It's when we separate ourselves from God and we try to find that value and worth in these other things that we're going to end up in trouble, because they just aren't going to do it. They use us. Those things use us up, and instead of filling us up with value and worth.
Very good. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. We had Snoop Dogg, Sanctification, and Dutch Apple Pie. Did you end up getting a Dutch Apple Pie from anybody in the congregation?
Not yet, but I'm hopeful.
Very good. Well, thank you so much for joining us today for In Addition. Our next In Addition will be not next Thursday, but the following Thursday on October 31st at 12 o'clock. So we hope to see you there. Thanks.